Welcome to Minnesota Circle. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Nicole.
Minnesota is filled with incredible gems, from the beautiful north shores of Lake Superior to the locally owned coffee shops where they greet you by name.
Join us each week as we highlight all the amazing things Minnesota has to offer. We interview local entrepreneurs and inspiring individuals, share hidden travel gems, events, and more.
We believe in the power of personal narratives and have a passion for making our communities feel more connected. At the end of each episode, we will also feature a song from a local musician.
All you need to know from Minnesotans on the go. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Minnesota Circle. As always, we are so glad that you are here. We have a great episode for you, and make sure you stick around to the very end because we always feature a song by a Minnesota musician. And today we are featuring the song Going to Meet the Man by Thomas Abbin. The guest today is Megs Pulvermacher, and she is the host of the Out What Now podcast and the founder of the Queer Impact Collective. You're going to love this episode. Here's Megs.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. We are here with Megs Pulvermacher. I think I got that right there on the first try.
Yeah, pretty good.
We are so excited to be speaking with today, who is also the host of a local podcast. We'll have her share more about that and of her journey and all that she does for the local queer community. And we are excited to chat with you. So, Megs, why don't we just start off by introducing yourself, sharing some of your background and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Long story, but we'll be concise about it. But my name is Megs. I am a queer community builder is kind of what I like to call myself. And, you know, I've changed titles a bunch of times, but that's sort of the primary thing I would say I'm known for as Megs the Connector, because I have kind of a knack for creating relationships really quickly. And then kind of, I love connecting the dots and helping other people get connected as well, which is something that I've done my entire life, but now I've created a business out of it, specifically for the queer community, more specifically even queer identifying entrepreneurs, creatives, and change makers. And I run an international community. It's all online right now, but we're working on getting back in person, expanding into several physical locations. So that'll be super cool. It's called the Queer Impact Collective. And so we run a bunch of virtual meetups that are networking, some are learning, some are masterminding and problem solving, all with the goal really of getting queer entrepreneurs connected with one another, amplifying more queer voices, empowering queer missions, and having as much fun as possible, which is probably the other primary thing I'm known for. I don't do anything that isn't fun. It just doesn't really interest me and my attention span doesn't allow for it. So I try to make everything a little bit of a party, and so far so good. And when I'm not doing that, I also, like you mentioned, host a podcast. It's called Out What Now, which is inspired by a lot of the challenges that I had actually in my post coming out journey. I came out when I was 23. Officially came out when I was 23, which was kind of a 10-year latency period there before we were being all out and proud about it. But all of the challenges that came in that post coming out journey really inspired the podcast. And so it's about navigating that journey and really thriving out here as a queer person. And of course, trying to have as much fun as possible too.
Yeah, I happen to listen to some of the podcast episodes. And so I'm excited to learn a little bit more. Do you want to just share like some of maybe your favorite, if you could pick, episodes and why they were so impactful to you?
Yeah. And it's so interesting what, as a podcaster, what you think is really going to hit or what you think people really want to hear, and then what the numbers tell you people are looking for. And so our number one downloaded episode ever is one I did with, I did a co-hosted series in the first season, and the title was What Am I? Figuring out a label and a sexuality that feels right for you. And I think that is one of the big ones, because there are so many labels out there and it's ever evolving, and there are so many layers of identity that people are just always trying to figure out what is going on or where they fit, because labels can be really limiting for some people, and they can also help some people feel really aligned and like they understand themselves better, so that they can then explain what that means to other people and kind of see where they fit in the world. Because as humans, that's a really helpful thing to be able to kind of organize your world in that way. And another one that has been downloaded a bunch is, I also work as a school psychologist, which I've been doing for 10 years. And I did an interview with Amy Canova, who runs the National Association of School Psychologists LGBTQIA2S+ committee. There might be additional letters at this point, but at the time that was the acronym. And we talked about supporting queer kids in schools and why it should matter to everyone, not just if you're queer, not just if you're the parent of a queer kid, but if you are an educator, if you're a fellow parent, if you're on the school board, and all of the ways that creating change and safe spaces in our schools can really create waves of impact for our community too.
Right. And that is extremely timely with everything that is going on right now in the schools around the US. So I would love to know, for people that are, whether they are, you know, they're just an ally wanting to help out, or someone within the community, kind of some first steps on how we can help these schools and the students, and help bring this fight to the forefront and make sure we're making some progress, because it just keeps feeling like we're going backwards. And as an ally, I want to find a way to help, and I'm sure others do as well.
Yeah, Texas and Florida aren't really making anyone feel that good right now, are they? Come on, man.
But, no.
Here's the thing, is particularly within the realm of schools, the choices that are made and a lot of the politics of it are, you know, white people getting in there and trying to, you know, make and keep schools the way they want them. So from we have a lot of systemic issues with racism, with how we're working with queer kids and trying to censor stuff and like, oh, there's no way that kids can handle that or whatever. And what that does is just leave kids like little me and little everyone who I'm now serving in my community and in the work that queer adults are doing out there, is to try to correct and educate on all of the things that we didn't get in school that made us feel like we were different, like this was a suboptimal way to live, like there's you know, no one we can talk to, or like no possible way that we could have success in the world because of, you know, this innate part of who we are. So I think for allies or for parents, it starts with little things, like something as simple as our school just created a section like in the library for like queer books. And I found a great one today. It's called Calvin, and it's about this little trans boy who comes out to his parents, and they were super supportive coming back to school, and how if you've ever been in an elementary classroom — elementary is not my jam, but I have done some work in elementary rooms — but kids are just sponges, and they are so open to learning anything that you'll share with them. And they're also able to discern. And a lot of the concepts, I think, around understanding queerness as a kid is, or being taught something in the realm, like if a classroom read a book about someone who's figuring out their non-binary or something, what that really is teaching people or teaching students is to tune in to what is true and authentic for them, to trust that it is true and that it is okay to express that. So I think little things like that, I think pushing back when if there's any, I don't know, conversations coming up at school board meetings. I mean, we live kind of in a blue dot here in Minneapolis, but we've got some like weird stuff going on in the burbs. Okay. And so there's a lot of opportunity to advocate in that way. And if you can make change in schools, that stuff goes forever. Schools are hugely impactful.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I'm actually a third grade teacher, and kids can handle a lot more than we think they can. And there are some great picture books on all different sorts of topics that really bring it down to their level. And so I would definitely encourage parents and educators to get their hands on some books, because there are so many resources now. And it starts at home too, because I will have students come in with an understanding of some kind of intense or taboo quote-unquote topics, and it seems that an adult has already talked to them about it, and they're very accepting and understanding, and they want to be kind and they want to be accepting and help students fit in. And so yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, if in these states that are trying to prevent it being talked about in the classroom, it's just now more than ever, we need that community support and that parenting and that at home and that reassurance that, you know, this isn't right what they're doing, but here we are like a safe space. And this is at least what we can do as most we can here. So I do think that it starts at such a young age, and it's, I mean, in some ways we have made huge strides with amount of conversation, being able to talk with it with young children, and they're just, it's seeing it more and more around them. And, you know, there's are some progress happening. I would love to know more about your collective meetings that you have each month, what that looks like. Is that for allies and for the queer community, or is it like a mixture, or what does that look like and how does that play out?
Yeah, so the Queer and Fat Collective started because I was looking for a group of kind of entrepreneurial minded big thinker type folks I had to kind of brainstorm with, to network with, to connect with. And I had been in some of those super like hyper feminine ones, which is fine. I have no problem being the anomaly, and there I can do like a little bit of that, but it got a little bit much. And then I was in another mastermind, kind of an entrepreneurial group that had a little bit more of a bro vibe to it, which it was like a big pendulum swing way to the other side. And I was like, maybe what I need is some more queer energy, because a lot of the things that were coming up for me as someone who is trying to, I had just pivoted my business to serving the queer community, to changing my podcast to cover the coming out journey. And I was kind of dabbling in being a coach, which I'll never be, but I was going to try my hand at being a coming out coach or whatever. And I was really, really struggling with some underlying things about, you know, before I was going to post something on the internet, what are people going to think? Am I going to get hate comments? Is my mom going to see it and be pissed off? Like all of the kind of the usual stuff that comes up with when you're about to put yourself out there on the internet, but when it's something that's so personal, you know, it's not like I'm like selling my brand new product or anything. It's like I'm selling part of who I am and bringing people into that. So I really wanted to be around big thinking people who were on a similar journey to me, and I couldn't find one. So I made one because it was December 2020 and we couldn't go anywhere or do anything. So I just hopped on the Zoom and I had started kind of building connections with people in the DMs on Instagram and stuff like that. And so it's a queer affinity space at its core, meaning it's only queer folks or queer identifying people who are members. It runs on a membership model. So it's a monthly membership and then you get access to all of the events. We have an online community platform so you can promote your stuff, network, and do all that. And then this past June, I was like, gosh, I have a lot of allies. I have a lot of awesome ally connections in Minneapolis and all over the country who are wanting to know how they can support me or how they can support the mission, how they can amplify the voices and empower the missions. And so it got to the end of Pride Month and, you know, you got rainbows all over everything, everywhere you go, especially if you're at Target during Pride Month. And so we got to the end and I was like, I'm going to host an event just kind of similar to what we do for a Queer Impact Collective event, which is kind of go around, introduce ourselves, do an ask or an offer, something to that effect. And we should bring allies into it so they get more awareness of queer-owned businesses. So if they're looking for a graphic designer, they, you know, there's a million graphic designers out there, but if they want to be an ally with their dollars, which is one of the best ways to do it, they can hire someone they already have a connection with, they were in this event with, they can refer them. And we've also had some conversations because I decided to host this event. We've done four of them now over the course of the year. So we'll have another one at the end of April. And it just gives them an opportunity to hear from queer business owners as well about just being an ally in general as a human, but also in supporting business. So we've talked about kind of like we started with today, like pronouns and different organizations they can support and how to be an ally when there aren't any queer people in the room and like all of that kind of stuff. So it's been a pretty cool opportunity. And I've had some allies who were like, can I come to a QIC thing today? And I'm like, you're invited to everything else. So no, but thanks for asking. Yeah. Come to the next Pride 365 event.
Yeah, no, everyone needs their space where they feel at home. And what kind of feedback do you receive from these meetings? And I also want to know how you bring the fun to them. What are your ways to sprinkle it in? Because I think we all need more of that.
I actually do this in my work as a school psychologist too. I love a walk-in song. Anytime I get the opportunity to facilitate a meeting, which as a psychologist is often, I'll have a song playing while people come in, which isn't, to my knowledge, super normal or common. But that's what we do there. And I kind of do a similar thing as we're coming in. And I also do a ton of back-end work on people who are attending the event. So I know what they're working on, funny stuff they've put in their Instagram stories or cool memes they've posted. So I can kind of like reference that and really, because people don't really toot their own horn, especially we got a bunch of Midwesterners in there, you know, we don't want to get like too aggressive with, you know, promoting our stuff or talking about what we're great at or this funny thing that we did. And so I really try to kind of pull that out of people and direct other people to it. So it kind of creates this running start to a relationship for everyone because they have that personal element as we're going through the thing, which is a lot of work, but super worth it because people leave feeling like they actually were seen, because which is a huge thing in any space, but particularly for queer folks, I think it just feels so extra good to be seen for who they are, acknowledged for the work they do, to be gendered correctly, to have all of those elements in one space, and people get loose when they feel good, you know? The shoulders start bopping, and that's how we bring the party for sure.
I like it. I wish I could go to some meetings with some walk-in songs. That would be awesome. Nobody is
Pride 365 April.
Nobody does that at my school.
Maybe we'll start doing that for the podcast, Nicole. Yeah. We'll, like, start a song, but like no one will see us on the video, but we'll just be like bobbing along.
It's fine. I'm gonna start
that makes a great reel.
Yeah. I'm going to start that at work, team meetings, music.
That's it.
So I'm just interested in knowing more about Minnesota queer businesses. Is there like a directory, a place we can find more information to support these businesses? Do you have like some of your top favorite queer owned businesses you could share with us?
Yes, yes. I am connected with several folks in the Minneapolis area directly, just because of proximity. Hannah Stranger is a queer guide. She actually supports queer entrepreneurs with being more visible in their business and kind of working through some of those underlying things I was talking about. Twin Cities Collective, Best Coach of the Year, I believe, 2021.
Awesome.
So, yay. Sebastian Nemec is an awesome personal development coach. He focuses a lot on money mindset. He's a trans veteran and just all around super cool dude. Also a speaker. It's eluding me. It's a coffee shop. Wild Horse, I want to say. It's over by the light rail goes by it, kind of by where Lake Monster is. Brewery is kind of like, that's how I do geography. It's over by the Lake Monster. I was Queer Space Collective. I don't know if you've heard of that, but if you have been to a drag brunch in the past year, you've probably seen their banners. And I just connected with their director. Her name is Nikki, and they have an LGBTQ plus mentorship program, and they office out of The Flock, which is a queer owned co-working space. Urban Growler, queer owned brewery. Excellent. And great beer. Who doesn't love a cowbell cream ale?
I know. We loved those ladies. They were on our podcast.
Yes. I got to find that one. But those are the ones that kind of immediately come to mind. I actually have, I'm going to have a national directory. It'll be international because it'll be of all the members of Queer Impact Collective, and probably some allied owned businesses too, because it gets kind of tough sometimes out in rural spots. And so I want people to have awareness of that too. And I just connected with this awesome human who actually lives in Bend, Oregon, but it's called Everywhere is Queer. And it's like a Google map of self-identified queer owned businesses everywhere, like in the world. And I think they just started it in January, and they have like 3,700 followers, and their map has been opened 100,000 times. So people want their queer biz action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, that's such a great way to support BITE with your dollar. I mean, that's the main way we really can support that and voting, obviously.
Yeah.
But
yes. Kind of to follow up with that, I had an additional question. Do you find like what are some of the troubles or things that queer owned business owners go through?
I think a lot of it is it's a choice to be visible. Right. And so because unlike something like race or sometimes faith-based diversity, you can't just look at a person and know immediately that they're queer, right? So it's a very conscious choice to be out, particularly in your business. And there are some people who they won't lie if you ask them, but they might not mention it in their business at all, even though they're fully out in their personal life. because of a fear of losing clients or losing business, or, you know, somebody, if it's like a brick and mortar, somebody coming after the building, you never know when someone's going to get a wild hair or a reason to mess up your stuff, or all of the things that can happen in like Google reviews and Yelp and all of that stuff. I think that is probably one of the biggest fears. And then if you make that choice, dealing with the repercussions of it. Sometimes with, depending on a person's situation, it can be with the people who are closest to you, right? If you have still issues with your family, because there are a lot of people who are out, they're living their lives as this like super dope queer person, got all the flags and whatever. And they might have, you know, mom and dad, religious trauma, like circling around in the back of their head, every move they make, although on the surface, it might appear like they're the super confident person. And I think that always lurks a little bit. So it can just be really energetically draining, one, to be queer on the internet every day, but two, to have it potentially impact your reach or your income is some pretty scary stuff.
Yeah. It's just so sad that it has to be that way, because I think it was you who said this. I was listening to your podcast about how these are just like social constructs that we made. Like, who said that the proper way to be is heterosexual, right? And why are why is there prejudice and fear? And why do people have to worry about losing customers or someone ruining their shop? Like, it just shouldn't be that way.
Smash the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it's all fear, right? It doesn't matter if it's schools. It doesn't matter if it's like any, if we're going to go like any faith-based person, for instance, who is like not sure about the homosexuals, which don't say that, but like they're getting itchy about that stuff. It's all fear-based, which is absolutely ridiculous, particularly from a faith perspective, which I could go down a huge rabbit hole of, but it's all just fear of the unknown. They don't understand it. And when people don't understand things, they feel uncertainty and then they get dysregulated and they're like, well, how is this going to impact me or whatever? Or they see something that I think it's really triggering for a lot of people to see a queer person, whatever that looks like for that particular person, living in an authentic way. And it triggers people who aren't living in an authentic way. They're like, well, screw you. I don't get to live authentically. I'm over here doing all of the things I'm supposed to do. I went to college, got a job. I got married. I have my kids. I have my 401k. And I'm like following this like straight American line. And it pisses people off when they see someone who's thriving, loving their life and doing it in what they would consider to be in an orthodox way. Yeah. Which is why it's so powerful.
That is such a true perspective. And I'm curious to hear from your perspective, how Minnesota is compared to other places, things that we specifically can improve on. I mean, we give off this face of being such a welcoming and Minnesota nice place, but I don't know if under the surface it really, I mean, we've proved it obviously with our Black community that we are obviously not, but I would love to know on the queer side of things what our community is like compared to other places, things we can improve on, and your thoughts on that.
I have a, so I'm from Wisconsin, but I moved here. My mom is from Fridley though, so I'm a homer.
You can't be on the podcast anymore.
This interview is now over.
Gotta delete this whole thing. I moved here in 2016, which was an interesting point in my life. I'd been out for 6 years, and in my personal life, I had had two school psychologist positions in two different states. I lived in Hayward, Wisconsin for a little bit, and I lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan for a little bit. And I wasn't out, I was too scared to be out at work in both of those places, but they're both rural. Hayward, I probably would have been fine, but I actually kind of got a little nudge from my boss in Michigan that you might be fine in this district, but like some other ones around here, it's very Bible Beltish over there, but she's like, might want to keep that on the down low. So when I moved to Minnesota, I started working at the district I'm in now. It's District 287. So it's an intermediate. We serve a bunch of different districts in the West Metro. And I had a principal who was queer and one staff member who was like right next to my office, who was also very out and openly queer. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is amazing. And so I just got to be like out and normal at work. And it's just, it's amazing how like much lighter it made me feel, particularly in that setting. I had a lot of kind of ongoing inner turmoil that I had yet to work out, but it was, I don't know. I've never in Minnesota specifically, I've never had a negative encounter outside of the just kind of standard Minnesotan microaggression. Like everybody is so, it's so well intended, so well intended. But it's like, I don't know, little things like people don't know the acronym or whatever, which who knows that the acronym is different every time you look at it. Of course, no one knows the acronym. So just like say a bunch of letters, you know, generally the first four, take your best guess, but they'll like make it weird because they feel awkward and it just feels kind of dismissive, which I have no problem redirecting. I'm like, you can just say queer. That's why I do. It's one syllable. It's not a bad word anymore. Although people do get itchy about that. And some conversations I've had about pride and like, why do you need like a pride celebration, or like, I don't get it, or, you know, there's no straight pride or whatever. And then, you know, we'll let you have your day or whatever. People saying kind of weird stuff about that. But generally speaking, I feel very comfortable like just being out. I would say definitely more comfortable in the city, specifically. Like if I'm in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or kind of that first ring, I feel pretty safe to like be out. I can like hold my girlfriend's hand. I can like walk into any place and just be myself. So I would say generally pretty good here. Outside of Minneapolis, I would have to give it an I don't know, but I'm from small town Wisconsin, so not fun there, not fun at all. No one is overtly mean to me or has overtly said like called me names or anything. It's just more if they don't know that there's a queer person in the room, they'll make like homophobic jokes or homophobic remarks or talk about like, you know, gay marriage is ridiculous. You know, next thing you know, they're going to be asking to marry dogs and stuff. Like, actually, I think there are probably some people who would be into that. People love their dogs. but it's just, it's all just fear and the unknown, and it's an easy target for their own insecurities. So, but I would say Minnesota's generally doing okay, but definitely need to work on the BIPOC stuff for sure.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just still laughing about people marrying their dogs. I'm visualizing that.
Highly unlikely, but.
Oh, there's everything else for dogs. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt the dogs.
Well, you got a dog, it depends on dog how far tux, we're like taking this marriage.
I immediately regretted that statement.
Do you have any like advice for anyone that's listening, someone that might also be queer, they haven't come out, or maybe they have but they are feeling alone and they're still working through some things, any recommendations on like groups they should join or things they should do, just from your own experience and kind of your own journey from when you came out to now?
I think this goes for anyone and everyone. Therapy is a great thing. And, you know, friends are great, listening ears are great, but an uninvolved, licensed person to help guide you through something that you're trying to figure out and navigate is an amazing thing. And you probably won't hit it right away. You could definitely shop for a therapist, someone who's aligned. You can, if you're looking for someone who is queer identifying or who is not only self-identified as queer friendly, but there are actual reviews and people who are not them reporting that they are queer friendly. I think that is number one, super important. But to kind of go into it with curiosity, you know, we're ever evolving humans, no matter what layer or aspect of our identity we're looking at. We change careers, we change friends, we change where we live, we change what we care about, we change what time we go to bed. Like, things change as you go through your life, and it can be really scary to embrace those opportunities. But if you kind of get curious about it and just be open to the possibility of what you might be feeling or how your identity might be shifting, it doesn't invalidate, I would also say specifically to queer folks, no matter where you're at on your coming out journey, there's no one right way to be out. There's no one perfect time to come out. And even if you never come out, your queerness is valid and you are a part of the community, even if it never comes out of your mouth, if you never admit it to yourself, if it just feels too scary. And I think that is really important because people tend to sort of belittle themselves or feel like they're not worthy of the label or belonging, or they're not moving fast enough, or whatever. And that can be a really scary thing. So I think be patient with yourself, be curious, get a therapist. That last one goes for everyone. And for allies, I would say be really intentional about who you're buying from, the language you're using. It's so important to be an ally when it's not for someone else. It's just because that is a state of being, that is where you are. So like, pronouns are kind of an easy example. And that's, I know that like really makes some people nervous because it's sort of a new thing. And how do I fit, like, if we're talking about like they, them, and how do I fit that grammatically into a sentence? It's not that hard. Just give a plant in your house they, them pronouns, talk about the plant. You'll get really good at it. That's what I told my mom to do. And she is absolutely crushing it. And it's a very good life hack. But like sticking up for the community when you are not amongst someone knowingly from the community. And almost every room you're in is going to have a queer person in it. We're everywhere. We're literally everywhere. Not in a creepy way. But I think that is really important. And find ways, you know, everyone always said, you know, do your own research, right? Well, you can Google and get a whole bunch of crazy stuff, but be really intentional. I've heard about this. There's a great podcast that I really like. It's called Out What Now? It's mine. And if you listen to that,
never heard of it.
5 stars. I mean, there are some great perspectives on, I mean, damn near anything you want to know. There are messages from allies. My mom came on the show to talk about our journey of really going through a turbulent time. And now, you know, we had a really scary point in our relationship where we didn't know if we were going to be able to maintain it and both, you know, be like, stay at baseline. And now she is like mentoring parents of queer kids who are in like Christian parents of gay kids, trying to navigate that journey and has just become this awesome ally. So that is a really cool conversation. We talk about the trans experience, non-binary. We've got folks on there who talk about religious trauma, who talk about van life. We also talk about a lot of queer joy too, and all of the awesome, amazing, talented people who are out here, and because they've done so much healing on their journey, they're able to be visible and do those awesome things. So a lot of resources there. And I think those accessing stories in that way is really important, because it is super, it can be a huge energetic suck. Like, if you want to learn about being an ally or more about the queer community, don't ask the queer people in your life. Ask the people who are taking the time to put out content or who are doing presentations. I've done a number of panel presentations at different events, in Facebook groups and things like that. That's where to really get perspective, so you're not taxing the folks in your life, and the people you're listening to are either in a spot to be able to safely do that, or they're getting paid good money for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really like the podcast. I'm not queer, but I loved hearing the perspectives from people, things that I haven't dealt with or I haven't thought about. I just love learning what other people have gone through, and it changes my lens that I view things through. And it's just, it's eye opening and good and funny. And yeah, recommend the podcast.
And yeah, I wanted to bounce off that therapy comment that you made, that I was recently shopping around for a therapist for myself, and you can look when you're doing like therapyfinder.com, I think, or it's one of the main like therapy pages, you can look at the bottom and see like what groups they align with. And I made like a point of making sure, like, you can tell pretty quickly who's going to be more comfortable. So it's a good place to look if you are looking for a therapist as well. So thank you for mentioning that. And for all these people that were obviously wanting to listen to this 5-star podcast that you have, can you share when the episodes come out, where they can find you, and if they are wanting to get connected with your community and your membership, how they can do that?
Yes. So Outward Now is season 5 will be launching in June. Pride Month, covered in rainbows. It's our month, so taking advantage. But there are 77 episodes, I believe, that are backlogged there, and some really cool stuff. I'm super excited about the lineup for season 5, and those will be dropping on Thursdays once we get to June. So for sure, check that out. We're going to have a couple Q&As too. My mom's coming on for a Q&A. My girlfriend's coming on for a Q&A. We're going to really mix it up and get crazy. It's going to be so fun. the easiest way to find me is I hang out the most on Instagram, and you can find my page at Meg's the Connector. There is also an Instagram for the podcast. So it's at Outward Now Podcast, aptly named. And I just made an Instagram today for Queer Impact Collective. So by the time you're listening to this, there will probably be some pretty solid posts there too. If you are a queer identifying human who wants to come check out a meetup to network, we have networking and social meetups. We have more of the problem solving type meetups. We had a podcasting meetup just recently that was really awesome. We have spiritual meetups for folks that are facilitated by people who are, that's kind of their areas of, those are their areas of expertise. And so if you check out the link at queerimpactcollective.com, you can come and check out a meetup for free to catch the vibe and see if it's as cool as I say it is. For $0. And we would love to have you.
Get your dance moves ready.
That's right. From the, it only has to be, you can chair dance. It can be just the waist up. But chair dance.
You know. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun, and we really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And everyone go and check out Meg the Connector.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Looking for more ways to learn all about the incredible things Minnesota has to offer? Follow us on social media at Minnesota Circle or subscribe to our newsletter at themncircle.com.
If you wish to have a song featured on the podcast, please contact us. Loved this episode? Then subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Join us next time and enjoy the music.
My crew is loyal, they prove it, so they are steadfast beyond compare. Searching faces for relief, high bones cry in despair. Vicious crooning, soothing woman plays the pipes of Pan. Jesus saves, I know it's true, but I'm going to meet the man. Mighty bow wide, though I was pressing all my luck. Come premeditated, words came as numbers, as I felt my lips get stuck. Venerated, faded, hated, secrets of the clan. The night is white, I know it's true, but I'm going to meet the man. There again, I'm tired out. From Sudan, the scene is young. I know it's true, but I'm going to meet the man. Just like night takes its throne, sitting and adored, where rivers meet and kiss my feet, the land where I first stepped on board. Diamond writhing, crying, shining, flashing in the pan. I can't go back, I know it's true, I'm going to meet the man.